Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Thundercast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about two recently released horror games, those being Outlast and Amnesia and Machine for Pigs. I'm Matthew Sorey, and joining me today I have Shane Ryan. Hello. Okay, guys, so this is the horror podcast. We've had Outlast released recently and also Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, which was the follow-up to Amnesia, The Dark Descent. Both games are from the first-person perspective. Both of them are survival horrors, very linear games, and both of them are quite scary in different ways. So I think one of the most important things to know here is that they take fundamentally different approaches to horror video game design. I think Outlast is a very immediate game about a very tangible, real threat. So in Outlast, you play as a journalist who has been tipped off that there were some dodgy goings on at a local insane asylum. He goes to investigate, enters the insane asylum, gets trapped in there with nothing but his hand camera, and starts getting attacked by a bunch of strange people. And then in Amnesia, Machine for Pigs, you play as a Victorian wealthy industrialist who wakes up in his bed and hears the sound of his children's voices, and his children's voices lead him through his house and eventually underground, and everything gets a bit crazy and surreal. And it's more about the suggested horror, not so much the immediate tangible horror like Outlast is. So Shane, I'm going to ask you right off the bat, do you have a preferred style of horror? When you compare these two games, is the one that you've enjoyed more?
Well, that's two different questions. So the first first question is yes. The second is the opposite of what I prefer. So I often prefer, I don't know if that's the right term, but I like horror when it's either very subtle. So for example, I'm thinking of recent films, well, not recent, but within the last 10 years, I think there's one called Session, I think it's Session 9?
Session 9, yes.
It's an indie kind of horror film, that's great. That's exactly what I'm talking about, which I think is, the Amnesia in this instance would be more towards, that suggestion that there's things going on, but you don't necessarily always see it.
That is a really good comparison, really. Yeah, it's suggested horror, isn't it?
Yes.
It's on that edge of almost showing you something, but keeps it back. So your mind is constantly making things up all the time. Like, shit, what is this horrible
it's
monster?
Like everything's always in the shadows knocking about, isn't it? Or just off the camera slightly.
And there's something just absolutely terrifying.
Or like, also like, I mean, you've got all the classic, like, straight up slasher gory films, and they're great because it's suspense based. And then you all the way to the more fairy tale stuff, like the Lucio Fulci films where the light fairy tales in a traditional sense, where it's basically a scene of nightmarish visions that make little narrative sense, but glued together in a really weird way that have made them last so long. So there's a good mix there. And if you wrote down on paper, what they aim to do, Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs would sound far superior to Outlast, and Outlast would sound like a load of horror movie cliches. But in the execution, it's the opposite. And so far from what I've played of Amnesia and where I'm up to is it has just been a series of cliches, whereas Outlast actually makes them feel fresh again in the way that they come across. So on paper, from the actual, like, walking in and say, right, this is my idea for a game, with Outlast I'd probably be like, oh, I'm not too sure about this. You've got the camera, it's got that kind of found footage, but it doesn't go into that territory, thankfully, but it could have done, and then all those pit traps. But this, and then Amnesia, it's like, oh, right, you're in a house, and everything's weird, and it's exploration. This sounds great. But when it comes down to it, one is ultra tense, and the other just has a lot of blue fog. Now, don't fly, and the blue fog just looks horrible. It's really, I thought there's something wrong with the brightness on my monitor, and I was playing around with it for ages, and I thought, no, this is intentional.
I'd have to agree. I think, Outlast is very much based upon the jump scare. Whereas Amnesia is about the suggested scare, like you said. But I think Outlast does the jump scare really well. Possibly better than I have ever seen the jump scare done anywhere else.
Scarier than any horror films I've seen for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's always a palpable sense of threat. And most of the time that's coming from someone else that's in the room with you, that's searching for you.
It's a moving horror, isn't it? It's not like, It's not like, oh, I wonder what's there. No, I know what's there, and it's trying to find me.
And it's shit scary.
Yeah, and I'm in a dead end.
Yeah. So, lots of the gameplay in Outlast is based around hiding from, the inhabitants of this house who are deranged, but also they also seem super powerful as well. Mm-hmm. It's all a bit strange, and you're not entirely sure why they are this crazy. I mean, of course, it's an insane asylum, but the people in here
So it kind of got turned into a research facility or a private one, didn't it?
But yeah,
clearly
that's a suggestion.
It's never moved on from its original purpose, and it's gone a bit wrong.
Yeah. So lots of the game is based around, well, really, you get into this insane asylum as a journalist. You've got your hand camera, and you're looking around for evidence to see if there's anything dodgy been going on. You get stuck in there, and it's about trying to find your way out. But the inhabitants won't let you out. So you have to dodge them in lots of situations, and lots of the game is about hiding from them in different areas. How did you think that worked?
Really well. Because it just hits it. It's a weird thing where it's so hard to keep, especially within horror, anything. So, you know, across the board, all the mediums, not just video games, to keep it consistent and not lose your way halfway through and the pacing just drops out. There's a slight dip in the middle. But then the way it keeps it going so well, and it has to do that, because if it doesn't, you will just stand back and just think, wait a minute, I can just see all of what's happening here. You know, if you try and break it down and you just detach yourself from it and are not bothered, whatever, then you might be able to spot the routines that people walk in and things like that and be able to break it down into a video game. But the way that it manages to mask that, and it is the most scared I've ever been playing a video game, easily. There's a bit later on where you meet another character who talks, who basically has decided to take over a section of the asylum to himself, where he takes other inhabitants in and does what he pleases, and it gets very tense. And it reminded me most of Condemned, which is one of my favourite games of the generation, and the way it moves, the way you can look down and you see the guy's body and legs as you're walking across stuff, and he kind of puts his hand out on walls. And when you go up to a door, you can open it slowly or close it or peek around corners. And it's just, and you can look over your shoulder when you're running, and all these little things come together so well. And then you have the HD of the camera where it's night vision. And that should, again, it's a cliche. You know, it's just taken straightly from the film Wreck and of all the other found footage films, the majority of which are rubbish. And it just does it so well.
But I think it does something different with that in video game form. So you've got this hand camera, and the game kind of encourages you to view everything through this hand camera. The battery on the hand camera never runs out, but you've also got this night vision mode, which actually drains a special battery, if you will. So you can only use night vision mode for a certain amount of time, and lots of these environments are very dark, so you need to use night vision mode to be able to see what's in that environment and to navigate your way around.
There is obviously a basement, and it is, of course, pitch black. Again, it's another cliche, but they've just done so well. So well. So yes, that is, Outlast is an outstanding game, definitely. And I think it's been able to comparison leading up, I don't think this turnout would have ever been expected. I think people would have seen this as being the cliche and like, oh yeah, I'll have a couple of, a cat jumps out of a closet, or it does that really lazy thing, you know, with current horror films where you have James Wan and all the production teams where all the films are just quiet, 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 and then someone smashes a pan really loud through massive speakers and makes everyone jump, because you're going to jump, because it's just, and everyone thinks, oh, that's really scary, that, but it isn't. It's just someone making a loud noise.
Well, to an extent, there is a lot of that in Outlast, but I just, there's something about how it's paced and how...
It's the threat behind it.
It's constantly done, and you do feel a sense of threat behind it. And what you were saying before about how you can't figure out the people's, like, you can't figure out their AI pathways. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to have, like, set routines where they're walking around, and then you can game them, you can figure out where they're going to be, and then you can get around them. When a game becomes like that, it becomes more of a stealth game.
Yes.
Instead of being a horror game. And I know you haven't played that much of Amnesia yet. Mm-hmm. I think, how far are you through the game?
So, I can't really tell, because I must be at least halfway. That's the way it feels, at least, if not further. I've started to see some things and have been in situations where you have to hide. And again, in comparison to Outlast, it was just to sit behind a box. All right, okay. That was it. There's no threat.
So, I will say, we're not going to get into any spoilers or anything, but Amnesia, there's always the suggestion of someone around the corner, but there is that suggestion for so long. I mean, I think it's about the first hour, 2 hours of the game, where it's all pure suggestion.
Yes, it is at least two hours before you see something else moving.
Exactly, yeah. And it takes such a long time to get there that I found it kind of diminished its effectiveness. Because when I first started playing the game, I thought it had a really nice atmosphere. It was quite dark and it was felt threatening. The Victorian like house setting that you're in feels like it's a huge mansion, feels empty, typical horror setting.
Yeah, there's a bit when you walk into a room and it's filled with stuffed animals, and I was just thinking, right, which one of these is going to move first? That sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think it does some cool stuff to begin with. There's lots of sounds, lots of noises, lots of strange things that happen in certain rooms. That make you think, right, shit, well, something's coming sometime soon. But then you get an hour down the line, it's like, well, what, nothing's happened. Is there any threat in this game, really? Like, yeah, it just diminishes it.
It's a good point, because the character actually talks, the main character, and there's a suggestion that he's way more scared than you are as the player, and I think that it kind of goes backwards, where when you first see something, the character you're playing starts to panic a lot and go, oh God, what's going on? But because of the blue fog, I was just thinking, well, I can't see anything, so I don't know what you're panicking about. The music crescendoed up and then just went away, and I was like, right, well, clearly I was supposed to have seen something and I haven't. And that happened a few times, even when stuff would creep about, or the music would pick up and then I would just leave the room, wait for it to go quiet, and I'd just walk back in.
I think that's something that Machine for Pigs does quite a lot. That's to its detriment, really. I think if you do that one or two times, then it can build up tension and you can feel like, right, well, shit, I'm really on the edge of something, and it feels like you're building up. But I think there's a certain threshold that if you get past, it just becomes ineffective. And
yeah, and when Outlast, you would open up a door, walk through, and a guy would turn off a machete and scream at you and chase you, and you're like, right, well, I know the situation here.
Yeah.
It's not being subtle. This is, I've got to run away, or I'm going to be dead pretty quick. And then later on, you'll run around the corner, see a guy with a machete, you know, crap yourself, and then realize he hasn't even moved, and he's just staring at the floor talking to himself. And the way it mixes up that throughout, even when you get towards the end of Outlast, you're never quite sure when you're walking past somebody if they're going to do anything, or whether they're in the world of their own, or even if they're on your side.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because a lot of the people you come across in Outlast don't do anything, they just sit there.
No, they're trapped
they're
as well,
blank.
They want out. Sort of thing,
they're
but
trapped.
They can't, yeah.
So it kind of sets it up from the off. Like, you meet those people, there's a section early on where you walk into a room and there's a bunch of people sat there. It's like, oh, when I walked in, I thought, crap, I'm going to have to get around these people without them seeing me. But you notice after a while that actually they're just watching TV and they're not going to do anything. They're really, like, vacant behind the eyes. It was a really strange moment. And it kind of sets a precedent. Well, not everyone in this place is going to be against me, and not everyone in this place is going to run after me. So
it made the place come alive, I think, for me. But having that difference, it's not just everyone's a psycho. It's just there's just some people sat in a cell just having a sleep.
Exactly, it made it seem like more of a real place. It's not just you and a bunch of enemies. Video game. It's like, this is a place, and there are other people in here who aren't trying to do you harm, but there's some absolutely insane people,
and they all
who
look the
really
same
to kill you, and they all look the same.
Yeah,
strangely,
which is very clever.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Outlast is really good at, like, tapping into your survival instinct, tapping into that fight or flight instinct where you can see an immediate threat and it's coming for you. Shit, what are you going to do about it? And I think Amnesia just kind of dries up to begin with.
It tries to be too much like an old, like, Lovecraftian tale. Often those will start off a bit weird about somebody going to a house and telling a story, and then the last... Because obviously a lot of it's short stories, and the last page or two is when everything ramps up and goes bonkers, and they talk about the fact that he sees something but can't explain it. And I feel like it tries to be more along those lines, but even with the blue, like at one point, I've seen the thing walking past, and I was like, oh. And I was just like, it just walked past like any other creature from another game. And I was like, it just didn't capture me in any way.
Just like someone passing you on the street in the morning.
Where some of the suggested, like, narrative stuff, I mean, there was a part earlier on but I opened up a drawer in a side room and it had some things in it, and the kind of the sound, it got like a brief, like, flashback sound clip of obviously what the sounds were being made by getting these things from people. And I was like, right, well, obviously, you know, this is kind of filling in the background. So I like that, where you can go, if you go off the main route, you'll get those little bits of narration that isn't just an audio log, but it does have audio logs. as well.
Yeah, that's something I'm pretty sure that's introduced in this game, that they weren't in The Dark Descent. I think The Dark Descent was mainly told through written letters mm-hmm. that your character had written before he got amnesia, before he had his memory wiped, and also strange ethereal visions of things coming back to him as he's remembering. Whereas you have audio logs in A Machine for Pigs, which is something new. But you also have those written letters as well, and you also have some strange voices in your head at sometimes. Okay, yeah, so amnesia, I think I'm sounding quite negative about it so far, but I do think there's quite a lot there to admire. I mean, I do like the setting. I think the setting's very nice.
Very reminiscent of the first Resident Evil house, even the stairs and the layout and everything. Yeah, big old
the original
mansion.
House, yeah. And I won't spoil where it goes, but I think it goes to some really interesting areas narratively. It's a bit unclear at times, mm-hmm. but I think it goes to some interesting ideas that are quite horrific. But yeah, they're slightly different as well from The Dark Descent. So you said that you've seen one of the monsters, and we're not going to talk about what those monsters mm-hmm. are in Amnesia The Dark Descent, and that didn't really affect you.
No.
So I'm trying to figure out what instance that was or what moment that was. Was it a moment where you just saw it in the distance, or was it a moment where you could actually interact?
There was one where I could see it above a ledge while doing a puzzle.
Basically, you have to
backtrack to do a really mundane puzzle, and then it was the opportunity of the game to say, oh, you're being chased now. But I just walked into the next room, music went quiet, I walked back in, carried on. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if the point was it didn't know I was there, but I thought the music was suggesting that it was following me. But just going to the next room and have nothing happen, especially on the back of Outlast, where things will chase you through doors and everything. It felt quite dry. And then later on, it's just when you're windling down through loads of kind of little puzzles, you've got to flick a switch and a gate will open, and you walk through and flick a switch and go back and another gate's opened, and you're winding through like under kind of a sub-factory part, and then the music picks up and you can hear something, and you just kind of hide behind a box and it walks past.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or shuffles or whatever it does.
Did you ever play The Dark Descent, the first Amnesia game?
Not enough to make a strong comment on it.
Okay. So I think one of the major differences between this new Amnesia game, Machine for Pigs, and the original one is the lack of the insanity mechanic. So in the first game, there was this system where if you looked at your enemies, if you looked at the people who were chasing you, then the screen kind of became really blurry. Mm-hmm. It started to sway from side to side, and it really became hard to figure out what was going on the screen.
They do it in this, but it's more cutscene-based, isn't it?
It is cutscene-based. Whereas this was in actual gameplay whilst you were playing it. And there was a light and dark mechanic in the original Amnesia as well, where you had to keep the environments lit, either using your lamp or by using tinderboxes to light up candles around the mansion that you were in back there. If you were in dark areas, you would start the same thing would happen. Your screen would start going blurry, start swaying. You'd start seeing random things like cockroaches on the walls and all mm-hmm. sorts of crazy stuff. And your character would start breathing really heavily. And because of that, it really forced you to keep environments lit, and you couldn't look at your enemies. Now they've completely scrapped that for A Machine for Pigs.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a vast difference, because in the original Amnesia, you couldn't stare at your enemies, and that does something really good, where there's a strange thing about what you were talking about before when you're talking about amnesia and understanding like the paths that the enemies walk around and being able to game that. I think the enemies, when you do start interacting with them more, and you're probably not at this point, it's quite easy to understand them as video game enemies, because you can stare at them as long as you want. You can figure out what their AI paths are.
Yeah, the A to B, when they'll just spin around and go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it becomes more like a stealth game. It just feels like a world of difference between the original Amnesia. I think there's something about being able to understand what it is that's after you, what it is that's threatening you, that kind of reduces the threat from it, if you will. If you understand something, you no longer fear it as much. When you don't understand it, then you make it worse in your mind to try and think of the worst possible scenario and how you can survive that. But I think that's the difference between the original Amnesia and this one, because the original You say you haven't played that much, but the original Amnesia was absolutely terrifying to me. That's probably the scariest video game experience that I've had yet. More so than Outlast, I would say. But A Machine for Pigs really doesn't capture the same sense of fear that did. And I think a lot of that is down to the removal of the insanity mechanic.
Do you think that was an intentional shift away from that, or do they think that they would still be able to scare people with the story?
Well,
it's titled the same, isn't it?
It must be intentional. Yeah, it's clearly a continuation, because in many other aspects, it's very much an amnesia game. You've got very light mechanical, like physics-based puzzles to go through. It's very linear. It tells its story through written text and visions, and it's about a guy who's got amnesia and is trying to figure out what's happened recently. And so in many respects, it's a very similar amnesia game, but it must have been a creative decision on the Chinese room's behalf to remove that insanity mechanic. And personally, I think that's a detrimental one.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that they've obviously made changes. It's a sequel. They want to, you know, try new things, keep it within the world.
Yeah.
But obviously it doesn't seem to have worked as well. But how did people react to that insanity meter on the original? Were some people quite negative about it?
No, I think, my opinion is, I thought it worked really well. It solved that monster-based horror problem.
Yeah.
Where you couldn't understand your enemy. They were always out of sight. They were always in the corner of your vision. They were always that thing lurking around the corner. Even when they were present in the room with you, which really ramped up the tension. So I think everyone was generally positive about it when it first came out. I think that was one of the main factors that really made it such a scary game. And maybe the developers haven't understood that, who knows. But I think that really takes away from the experience, the fact that they've removed that. And also the light and dark mechanic, because I really think that all fed into that sense of tension that the first game instilled.
Because they have, like I mentioned before at the beginning, the blue fog effect. Well, it changes colour, but there's a heavy kind of woolly fog colouring in each location that basically saturates all the colour. And yeah, it's made to look like, I think it must be done to limit your view and make things less clear, but it doesn't do anything other than make a thing look muddy. It's strange.
Yeah, it does look a little messy. I mean, it doesn't really look like fog. It just looks like you've got the gamma turned way up on your monitor.
Because have you finished it?
I have, yeah.
Right, because I kind of brought this point up because I was wondering if you were going to say, oh, there's a reason why, and later on it starts to have more of a contextual sense, but it just sounds like it's a filter that they've just applied.
Yeah, it certainly looks like that.
Okay. Cause, yeah, because I found that really distracting at first, especially when you're walking around the house, and everything's got that weird, I don't know if it happens straight away, but there is a fog and it's just, you get used to it after a while, but it really makes everything look muddy and, oh, I don't know if it's supposed to give it a dreamlike appearance, but it was. When you compare that to when you have the HD kind of that night vision, using that as a filter, like the difference in the way those are used and Outlast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about that night vision mechanic a bit, because I think that's one of the most interesting parts of Outlast. So I've just talked about how A Machine for Pigs removes the need to keep environments lit. So In The Dark Descent, the original Amnesia, you had to collect tinder boxes and you had to collect oil to keep your lantern lit and to be able to light candles around each room. But the new Amnesia, you don't have any of that. You have an electric lamp and it lasts throughout the entire game, so you don't need to worry about that kind of thing. There's no resource management there. Which I think works to an extent, because that game, I think, is very much mainly about the story, and I think you can see the influence of Dear Esther, which was the game that the Chinese Room developed previously. You can see the influence of that game, where it's much more focused on telling an interesting story and having interesting environments to wander through without necessarily putting up challenges for the player to get through. But I think Outlast is almost more similar to Amnesia, The Dark Descent, in the way that it gives you resource management, and you have to manage the amount of batteries that you collect in the game, and you have to keep your camera lit, or else you could potentially get into a situation where you walk into a pitch black room and you don't have any batteries and you can't see anything in that room, and you have to go wildly searching around in the dark for batteries whilst there's someone in there with you trying to get you, which is a really, I actually got into one of those situations when I was playing the game. That's a pretty terrifying experience. But I did also find that there were plenty of batteries throughout the environment. I didn't really find or feel like I was short on batteries throughout the game.
No. I think it was a clear decision to always have it so you'd have a minimal amount. That's what I found anyway. You would never feel like your pockets were filled with them. But you'd always have like two or three. So at worst, you might be thinking, I've only got one spare, and then you'll come across three more, balance
out. So you've always got that thing in the back of your mind, oh crap, I need to find a battery, or else I'm going to be stuck in that situation.
It'll start off where you've got quite a lot, so it'll look like you can have double figures, the number of batteries, but then it kind of plays on that by only really making sure you've got two or three at a time. to make it seem like you've got a minimal light. In the same way that it makes it look like the AI is always doing what it wants, but there's still patterns there. It's just hiding things very cleverly or distracting you in other ways.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, exactly. We're not going to get into spoilers, but did you have a favourite moment in Outlast? Was there any moment that really got you, took you by surprise?
How much my palms are sweating during the aforementioned moment with the certain character who's absolutely great in it, that basically terrorised your whole section. And it wound me up so much that I think I was being chased for about an hour in this one part because I could not figure out how to get out.
Oh,
and then
I
had to pause take a moment, and then it was like, all right, yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
When I went back to it, but it's just the fact that it made me scared stupid, so common sense was out the window. I was just running around like a lunatic. And there was another moment later on where something happens and the person's like, you need to film it. Now, if it was a film, I'd be like, no, you wouldn't do that. Lo and behold, what did I do? I stood there and filmed the whole thing because I thought, no, I want to see what happens here. If something happens afterwards, I became my own kind of worst enemy. But and there's an earlier part as well where it's similar. It's just before it's very similar to the moment you mentioned where you go somewhere and you see somebody and you're like, early on, you think, oh my God, I do not want to go down there. The music starts building up, which we'll talk about in a second. And you walk over and you're like, oh, no, he's just asleep. And you just walk past and that's it. And nothing happens. But it's just the way the music violins start building up, like this thing's going to attack you and then nope,
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that so telling that the game can play with you like that?
Yes.
It can build up those moments, knowing that you will refer to other moments in the game where you've done that and something bad's happened. But it plays with you and, oh, nothing's happened. Oh, it's okay. I can walk past this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the next one you go past will probably jump at you.
Yeah.
So that happens quite a lot in Outlast. I thought it was
really cool. It doesn't, again, it's that way of, it appears like it's going to be cliche ridden, but it actually knows what they are, uses them effectively and refreshingly, but also plays on them. I know we talked about Gone Home recently in the way that it's kind of, it appears to be things have gone on, like when there's red all over the bath and you look down and there's just red dye. Some of it is similar sort of pattern to that where it is still a full-blown horror game, but it knows how to play on what the expectations are. So when the music ramps up and there's something sat in a chair with its back to you and you have to get past it and you're thinking, oh no, and then nothing happens. And it's that very clever little switch around.
There's a certain awareness of horror tropes, I think, where they know what people are already expecting coming in. If you've watched a certain amount of, I don't know, horror films throughout your life and played a few horror games, then you know there are certain cliches and certain things that do happen in horror games. And I think moments like that in Outlast really play on those, which are really smart ways of keeping the experience fresh.
Another compliment I can give it is, in that sense, is there some moments that are very well executed in a way that the original dog scene in Resident Evil, when they first find the dogs when you're walking down the corridor, that's that kind of iconic moment of that jump scare. I think they execute in a similar way to that, where at times there could be minimal music and then it'll ramp up. So there's definitely, you can tell that the people that have made it have definitely done a lot of work into it. They've got a good history of how this stuff works. And they've actually just sat down and paid attention. They haven't just gone, oh, that, in horror films, it's just loud, loud. It's like quite bang. We'll just do that. They actually thought, no, there's more to it than that. We can play with things. We can make things last. And I really think the outlook for many people will be a surprise hit of the year. I think it's going to, as people look back, they'll definitely fondly remember it.
Definitely. One more thing I wanted to talk about the games. Outlast, another difference that I noticed is that Outlast is something you were talking about before in that area where you get stuck in one area with one guy who's after you and you have to make your way out. And you were saying that you got lost a bit and you couldn't figure your way out and you're there for about an hour and that made it a very tense experience. Outlast is a structured game. It's linear to an extent, but its environments are also slightly open as well. Mm-hmm. And there's more width, there's more leeway, there's more freedom in what you can do in these areas. You can go in different rooms and hide, different corridors and hide. They're not just all linear corridors like Amnesia.
Yeah.
And I think that adds to the tension of Outlast in the sense that you can get lost in those moments. You can end up in a random room that you weren't expecting to be in and then have to instantly figure out where you're going to hide because someone's after you.
Yeah, it's like event areas, isn't it? So you're going to a place and it opens up so that it might be like a squared off area and a couple of routes going off to go to different bits but it's all contained within one thing and there might be one thing you're trying to do and it's like a little mini situation plays out in an area and then you get back onto the main linear path. and carry
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like it's a sequence of those areas, mm-hmm. but you have more freedom. And I think that adds to the confusion in those really panicked moments, because that is a game about panic.
Yeah.
And you don't have a defined direction to go, and you don't have a defined end point to go to.
No.
You're just scrambling for somewhere, and that really, that I think that design, that slight openness in its design really helps.
Mm-hmm.
Amnesia, the encounters that you have, they all feel very structured, and you don't have that width in the environment. There's like a few obvious places to hide when you start getting stalked by these creatures, if you will.
Yeah, there's always like a carp, there's always like a wooden box knocking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. So it does feel, it's not scripted, obviously, but it feels kind of like that, if you will.
Yeah.
It feels like it's telling you, go over here, hide here, whilst this character walks past you.
Mm-hmm. Well, mechanically, it's, when you describe it like that, and a lot of the design behind both of them, it's probably quite similar, because if you break down Atlas, there's bits where it is just a case of, you know, there just happens to be this bed that's knocked over that you can duck behind. But it's the way that, like we said, you have those kind of situation areas where there'll be three, four rooms, and you have to pick which one you're going to go and hide in, and then there might be three hiding locations in each one. And the thing will walk in and randomly check one, and it is random. There's times where earlier on you're thinking, oh, they never pick the locker I'm in, and then bang, they do, and it's like, oh shit, no, I can't just hang in here all the time.
See, I didn't realize, I actually honestly didn't realize it was random, because I'd never got found in those areas where I hid. So it is actually random. It's that you can't actually get pulled out.
Yes,
of the
but there's plenty of times when we went to a locker and they went in and they just randomly walk over and pick me out, or I'd be hiding under a bed and they'd be walking around and then they'd just kind of stop and walk over to the bed I was under.
I thought it was like the sequence in Deadly Premonition where the raincoat killer's after you, and you can hide in one of those areas and it will never look there.
No. Well, it appears like at first, but then as it went on, it seemed to become that they found you more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were just very lucky in where you were hiding then.
Yeah, I guess I was. Very lucky.
The only negative I'll probably say about Outlast, because we haven't given any, go away without any critique, is just that it does have video gamey moments. So some of the situation areas is find three fuses, flicks three switches, turn the gas off, because there's three mains. You know, it's always three of everything.
There are quite a few branching paths. It's like, go to the end of this path, come back to the middle, go to the end of this path, come back to the middle, go to the end of this one, come back
and
to the middle.
And what happens when you're doing those is great, but as an actual piece of design, they're the laziest moments of it. But they still don't detract enough to break the atmosphere that's going on. And the music the music design in that game is exceptional.
Yeah. I do also feel like some of the scares, I mean, I've talked about how they play with your expectations and they keep you on your feet, but some of the scares are just classic jump scares.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
You can see them coming, and they're not quite as effective as they could be.
No.
But I think they're balanced out by the ones that you don't expect as well.
Yeah, if it was just all that, it would just be a cliche and it'd be like, oh no, it doesn't work. But when you mix in the occasional thing where you kind of forget about the fact that something's going to jump around the corner because you're more bothered about this thing that's running around chasing you. So then you get to that point, and then it just goes back to very old, you know, cat jumping out the cupboard type thing. Which Condemned did to some aspects. There's a couple of times when it used scare jumps, but it was so minimal, and it wasn't a story that did that, that when it did it made you jump properly. It was really well done.
Yeah, definitely. And one more thing about Outlast, the naked guys, one of the creepiest things in video games ever.
There's quite a few penises.
There are a few, but I'm thinking of two guys specifically. Oh, they were terrifying.
There's also the old film director, Richard Stanley, once said something about the fact that films are improved greatly when they have a penis in it. So if that's the case, then we can also apply that to video games.
Why didn't you give it a 9 out of 10, Shane?
Well, maybe I should have done. put a small print as to why, plus one for penis.
We can always amend it for the penises. Mm-hmm.
That's the most adult content, bizarrely. Still in the West is for some reason, in most films, if you think about it, girls can walk around naked all the time, but you never see an actor just stand up and just, in all its glory, just stand there. You don't really get that. You do in this, although, to be honest, it's not the prettiest sight, because it's not quite all as it should be.
It's a bit surreal and a bit strange. Okay, so you haven't finished Amnesia yet. You're looking forward to playing the rest of it?
I will finish it. Because it's like, as I mentioned, there's some little story. If you pay attention, there's little story beats so far that, so I think I know where it's going, but I want to find it. I think it's going to be interesting. But as the game itself, I'm finding it a chore to play, which is interesting when you said that comparison to DLS that where that's just narrative. I've not played that, but I understand it's just narrative driven completely. And yeah. I feel like this, maybe they were trying to focus too much on the story, mm-hmm. and they're just throwing in a couple of puzzles along the way, and they just get in the way. I'd rather it's just one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, the puzzles are very light. They don't feel very challenging at all, but I think that's to serve the purpose of the story.
Again, it's very video gamey design.
Yeah. I think we're also talking from the perspective of people who play a lot of video games, and I think, the Chinese Room are smart developers, and I think they will be thinking wider than that. They will be thinking, well, we want other people to play our game. We don't want just, I don't think they would have been so interested in the puzzly side of things. They're more interested in the interactive narrative side of things. If you will.
Yeah. I was just thinking that horror is such a niche market anyway, that, I don't know, so I think that'd be a weird attitude to have within this genre. Like, if you, like, why use the Amnesia name and then try and branch it? You know what I mean? It seems like I can't quite understand at the moment what they're trying to focus in on with this game.
Yeah, good point. But I would say stick with it. I'd say it's worth playing to the end. I think some of the themes that crop up in the story are really quite interesting and feed into the time when it's set. And also the Amnesia lore, it kind of feeds into the first game as well, but I won't spoil it for you.
Okay.
So interesting games. I've got to say, personally, I prefer Outlast, and I think I know which way your preference
Outlast,
as well.
Definitely. One of the best games of the year. Not the best, but I'm not going to commit to that. We'll leave that discussion until the end of the year. Something else great might come out.
High praise from Shane Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Nice one. Okay, so anything else to say about the games?
No. Oh, Outlast is coming to PS4 at some point next year.
Yes.
It's going to be, I believe it's free on PSN Plus for the first month or when it comes out, whenever that is.
Really?
Wow. That is a deal.
That is a very good deal. If you haven't got a PC and played Outlast and you get a PS4, you've got definitely
something to look after. And headphones on, lights off.
Yeah, that kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Okay, so that's it for episode 37 of the Thundercast. If you want to let us know what you thought of Outlast or Amnesia, head on over to thunderboltgames.com and check out the forums, or alternatively, contact us on Twitter @_thunderbolt, or email us at podcast@thunderboltgames.com. From me, it's goodbye. I'm from Shane.
Goodbye.